Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Pew Time. It's not Pew Time today. Welcome to another episode of Bro Time with Tony
and Manny.
Manny is joining me today because, quick story time. Jackie and I went out for dinner with some friends last night, and Jackie got home. She still had to do her workouts and completed said workouts slightly intoxicated. And she looked very, very tired at the end of it. So I said, I'll record with Manny tomorrow, or I'll do it by myself. Why don't we just go to bed? Because, well, quite frankly, you look like you need it. So Manny decided he was going to jump on with me. So thank you, sir. Thanks for jumping in.
No problem. Always a pleasure to help my buddy out.
Well, we're going to keep the same format because Manny knows exactly what we do. And I'm really grateful that Manny is here because he can actually fill in our week in shooting, because I really didn't do shit, but he actually shot a match, so we'll talk about that. But Manny, what's our first
bit of gun news?
Gun news.
Yeah, we got so I guess Langdon Tactical came out with a really cool Beretta Tomcat.
So this started actually as an and they put up a picture of cutting a Tomcat to be, you know, RDS ready, and Beretta makes the threaded barrel option, so you could essentially have a pretty baller looking Tomcat in theory. Well, I guess Ernest and the crew is like, nah, in theory no more, shall exist.
Yes, it shall exist. So it looks like, you know, as anyone knows, the Beretta Tomcat is in 32 ACP, but what they added upon to it is it's suppressor ready. Cut for, I don't know, what footprint is this for? Because in your notes, it doesn't say.
So, well, supposedly the only way you use Langdon is they only use the suppressor-ready host from Beretta. So you can get a Tomcat, threaded barrel or not threaded barrel, but if you buy it directly from Langdon, it comes suppressor-ready. Which gotcha. Is a threaded barrel because they don't have fucking suppressor height sights on it.
That, yeah, well, you mean any form of sights? Because last time I looked at a Tomcat, there was no real sights to talk about.
That's true. So the footprint it is cut for is the RMSC, so the micro dot footprint. It does have didn't know you could do that. It has Langdon's weird little like flat double action trigger on it. And they bevel the rear of the slide because they can be quite sharp on the little ones. You said you actually have messed with one. They can be kind of a monster in the back.
Oh yeah, especially for you, it's tiny, it would shred your hand.
Yeah, I would not shoot one. I mean, I would shoot one with like two, like that is my noisy cricket.
Yes,
like Men in Black. So price, depending on the, if you get one with it, is $650 to $920. Yeah,
but no one can see this face. I was just like the pure shock of like hearing that.
But the best thing to come out of all of this, when I was looking at it on Langdon's website, under their frequently asked questions, there is a question from, I'm guessing, a customer, because it had to have been asked by someone. Can you cut the Tomcat for a different optic footprint? Like fucking...
Right. What are you going to put on it?
Which one of you savages? Hey, Ernest, could you put an SRO on my Tomcat? Jesus.
No, so here's actually a good cool. Why doesn't Trigicon make a SRO in an RMSC footprint?
Well, because Trigicon refuses to do the RMSC footprint, which is why the RMRCC has its own footprint.
Oh, same difference. You know what I'm talking about. I might. Stupid words people. And letters don't mix with me.
Stupid people. God, it's so aggravating.
Hey, but it's still funny. They had the balls to ask Amy Langdon.
Someone. Yeah. Hey, could this be done? Shut up. No. Somebody put this in the FAQs. God, so, that's my words. I moved to a free state. This is one of the first guns I buy.
It's not if, it's when.
That's true. Yes. When.
You just got to take your mom, your dad, and your brother.
No. I just have to live close enough that it's within a day's drive.
Oh, fair enough. Is that what mama said?
That's what mama said. item number two. And it's kind of good that we did it today because the next two items on this list was released this morning.
Well, that's good. At least we were late, but with purpose.
Yes. So for you Rimfire guys and Steel Challenge guys, you are familiar with the name Tandem Cross. They are the Green, Black, and Red company that sponsored pretty much every Steel Challenge stuff that's out there. They have released the Manticore X, which is their new lower for the Ruger 1022. And yeah, Manny, I'm sorry. I didn't put a ton of notes in here because there's a shit ton.
So, oh, I had to Google it. And my question is why?
So prior to this, really the only thing you could do to a 1022 is keep it stock, use someone else's stock, or buy a chassis system, like if you wanted to really lighten up the gun.
Right.
So without going to a full chassis system, the guys at Tandem Cross have devised the Manticore X. And this piece of engineering takes the lower of a 1022 and the trigger group and molds it into one. Mm-hmm. So you can take your 1022 upper receiver, which is held in by two pins, if you've never taken one apart, and you can essentially make your 1022 a takedown by taking the receiver off, which in turn now makes it a free float barrel. It uses a rear Picatinny rail section, so you can put super light stocks and folding stocks and whatnot on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you get their full kit, it's like $500, but you get, oh, where did it go? You know, I left it open on purpose and then it disappeared.
Scandalous.
That's what I'm saying. This is because of that damn update, I promise you.
Oh, it has to have been. Yeah. But yeah, you got it.
Yep, got it. So if you get the full Manticore X system, it's got their super duper trigger job in it, their safety, their extended bolt lock, extended mag release, blah, 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 blah. It's a lot of shit. And it also takes standard AR grips now, pin storage, QD mounts. Like, it's got everything in it.
Yeah. That's what, $499.99?
Yeah, it's $500 if you want the full kit. And that's not including, like, you'd still have to buy a stock. They do offer their own version of a stock. I think it's like $200, and that's a grip, stock, and fore-end for like the kit.
Right, which is everything but the upper receiver on that gun.
Which is, yep, exactly. Well, in the barrel.
Yeah. Which is, that's one piece, but yeah. You're going to have that, I'd hope.
So it's pretty cool. I think it's a little more than people initially thought, especially with companies out there like TACCOM that offer reasonable priced chassis style systems. Because I don't know if you pay attention much to Steel Challenge. I still see it through my feed, and the guns have, the 22s and even the PCCs have evolved into just being basically a stock, a grip, and then like the thinnest piece of whatever covering the barrel. Like, they have the least amount of shit possible on it.
Right, that's TACCOM's thing, though. You know, they make that, but then they use the PCC. Well, they use the pistol rifling in it, and then it's just a freaking tube off the rest of it. And
yeah, it's crazy what they've done, and I'm assuming it's because they want the lightning quick transitions, which is the game of Steel Challenge. But I feel like I would overdrive the shit out of that.
Yeah, well, there's got to be that middle balance of enough weight, but not enough weight, or not too much weight.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm not a steel guy, but. Really is movability of that gun all day, right? Yeah. Like, I know some people who love Steel Challenge. They're really good at Steel Challenge. But they like the, I go here, 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 here. It's, but you're all standing in a box. So they like the consistency.
Yeah, and I mean, so, right, that's, it's drag racing is what that is. Same thing, right? You're going down a track, going in one direction. It's the same. It never changes. And some people like that. They want to be the fastest in the world at that. And that's, I got nothing wrong with that. That's cool.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You absolutely want to be the fastest you can be.
It's not my thing, but, you know, maybe when I'm like 70 something, it'll be my thing.
No, you're going to be that guy at a USPSA match, just chilling in the back, got in his chair, and then you go paste your closest target, and then you come back and you sit back down in your chair, and you'll be fine.
I mean, I'd be okay with that too.
And then Jackie has to pull the cart. Oh, well, she can't because she's older than you. So she'll be more.
Ooh, wait till she hears this episode. You're dead.
I'm already dead in the eyes of Jackie. Love you, Jackie. Yeah,
I appreciate their innovation. Tandem Cross always comes out with good shit. So.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you you wanted to turn like a Ruger Mark IV into almost a Vilkortzen, yeah, you can do it with a TACCOM.
Tandem cross.
You know what I mean. I misspeak. Who says I can read? Y'all assume I can read.
I even gave you the show notes, so this shit wouldn't happen, and here we are.
Fair enough. It gives me at least heads up of what we're actually talking about.
Well, the last gun news that we have actually should tickle your pickle, because you've had a hard-on for these for the past, like, week and a half.
debatable, yes.
It's the first bit of news I saw when I was making breakfast. I turned on YouTube. First in my feed is a video from Smith & Wesson. And it says, new spec series. Okay, I'm intrigued. They've always had an interesting version of what they consider their spec series, and they're kind of just special editions that they throw together, whether it has extended mags, it's got a magwell, it's got a different finish, it's whatever it is, they throw it together. This spec series happens to be done on the metal, aka the aluminum.
It really should be called the aluminum.
And it is very, did you pull up a picture of it?
I pulled up the video to look at it, yeah.
Yeah, so it looks good.
Yes, it does. It really looks good, especially for people like myself who love the best color in the world, green. But not just green, OD green.
Yeah, this is an all-metal gun, OD green. And it is, I already thought the metal was a sharp-looking gun. It looks even better in OD green.
Well, yeah. So you have the frame and the barrel. Well, sorry, the frame, the slide, they're OD green. The barrel is black.
Yeah, I mean, all the accents are black, but
so, the main, but it looks sharp. Now you put a black dot on, you know, you put an optic on the top of it. Mm.
And the piece that stands out the most that is black is the thing hanging off the end of the threaded barrel that it comes with, and that is a compensator from Faxon.
Well, I'm glad that Smith actually went and got an aftermarket compensator instead of having to design their own.
So watch that video when you get a second, and you'll hear the guy say, well, made with the Performance Center and Faxon. Like, Faxon's made a M&P compensator for years.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a Faxon compensator, which there's nothing wrong with that. There are other companies doing this all the time. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. Like, wasn't it Faxon making them, too? Like, yeah, they made a whole decked out, you could buy a decked out M&P from them, wasn't that?
Yeah, my one M&P that you've seen it before, it had the rainbow barrel in it. That's mm-hmm. a whole Faxon upper. They yep. were one of the few people for a while that were making slides for M&Ps. So yeah. This gun, OD green, threaded barrel, Faxon comp. It's got some nice slide serrations on the front, some slide lightning in the front, night sights, and I think it comes with one or two of their big mags. They're 24-round mags that you can't use for competition, but if you're a Timmy, you get more rounds.
Hey, well, really, you put a red dot on it and you shoot open division with this.
That's true. I wonder if it's, I mean, it's pretty big, the mag.
Yeah.
It might be bigger than a big stick.
It might be, but that's why they make concrete or sandpaper for. Which is funny, because there was actually somebody shooting an M&P open gun at the match last night. So
really?
Yeah, I'll talk about it in a little bit. It's kind of interesting.
Cool. All right. Does it look anything like mine?
No.
Okay.
It's not that cool.
But that's it. Unfortunately, I don't have any more to talk about the M&P because it's not even on their website. I can't give you a price on it.
I'm going to bet. What's the aluminum normally go for?
Like $900.
It's going to be, I'm going to guess $14.99.
That's too much.
What do you think? 12?
It better not be priced over 12. 12 on the high.
Yeah, because that's really like cutting into Shadow 2 money, isn't it?
That's cutting into anything. That's cutting into you could make that gun yourself cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
So aside from the coloring, like it needs to be under $1,200. Even that, I think, is too much money.
And the metal, that's got to be, what, a 4.25-inch barrel?
Yeah, 4.25.
So you're going to send it. Anyway, you're going to send this thing off. You're going to have Vinny put, I don't know, right. would he even put a Lucky 7s on it, even if it's got the comp?
Mm. Sure. Vinny will do whatever you want.
Well, this is true.
But I'll give you a hint. That's why my M&P's not here.
Oh, Oh, besides besides the other one that's free. Well,
yeah, the one with the fax and upper. I'll give you a hint why that's not here.
Oh, well, that's good. I call dibs on shooting that.
Well, we can go into shooting sports. This is where we can talk. Thank God you shot a match. I've been working on, I'll talk about mine first just because it's quick. I've just been working on what my training plan is going to be after my little break.
Yeah.
And I'm planning on the break being after SHOT Show.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because one, you're going to get the SHOT Show crud. So you're going to need to recover. And if that's not the fact if you come home with SHOT Show crud. It's when Jackie does, and then she gives it to you. And then you give it back to her. And then she gives it back to you.
We are. I'm already, like, dailying the emergency vitamin C powder like it's cocaine. Like, just to prepare for this. But I don't want to go and do, like, a hardcore training. I'm still training. I'm dry firing when I feel like it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not on a strict regimen. I've upped my workouts and have been like calorie counting and stuff like that. Cause mm-hmm. I can do that even while at SHOT Show, but dry fire, I'm going to be honest. I don't have time for anything else for SHOT Show other than SHOT Show at SHOT Show.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, like even myself, like dry fire is when I feel like it or I want to, it's not like I must go down to it is now 7 o'clock. I must now go into the lair. Alfred, get me my bat cape. Alfred, get me my utility belt.
Cock my open gun. I'll be down in 5. I have to poop.
But right, yeah. So you go down when you feel like it, or you got an urge, or you know you want to work on something. That's how I'm feeling right now. But going into the 2024 season, I can feel some magic things already happening. So
that's good. Like a tingling sensation or what kind of magic things?
Well, I mean, everything's magic in my hands, but but anyway, no. So I really think 2024 is going to be the year, right? Shooting the most majors I've ever shot in 2024. Kind of have the most, like the best plan at the moment, like, okay. You know, going over double of what the rounds I shot in 2023 already scheduled. So it's kind of cool. But
we kind of talked about that the other day, just kind of painting your year as far as bullets down range.
Yeah, which is you don't think about how many bullets you're really going to throw down range until you put it on paper and be like, well, how many locals do you want to go to? How many practice sessions do you want to go to? Those practice sessions don't need to be 500 to 600 rounds.
Right. How like many times does Tony plan to come up and shoot with me?
Oh, yes. Yes. How many times am I going to go outside? How many times am I going to go train indoors? How many times am I going to go shoot whatever? You know, how many classes am I going to take?
It's the most exciting and depressing thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm going to shoot so much. And then you look at the bank account like, oh, I'm going to shoot so much.
Right? But this is where I'm really lucky. I'm going to do a shameless plug for one of my best sponsors, Outdoor Dynamics. All right. You know, John's super helpful and supportive. And getting the support I really need on that kind of stuff. So if you're listeners of Pew Time, love bullets like we do, go over to outdoordynamics.net and go put the code Manny, MANNY, for 5% off your order. And tell John I sent you because that's what the code does. But put it in the notes. You might get something special in the box. I don't know. I can't promise it. But it'll probably happen. But no. So yeah, I shot a match last night. This was actually my first indoor match ever. And I normally don't shoot indoors. Like, it's been years since I've shot at an indoor range of any kind. One, because the one closest to me is, like, no distance at all. And it's Fudzilla, Fud City. Yeah, so, excuse me. I went to an awesome facility, Ann Arbor Arms, obviously in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is roughly an hour from my house. 60 miles, 60 minutes. So the range is a really nice facility. They've got three, I want to say, 20-yard wide by 25 to 27-yard deep bays. Because from the stalls, you can push the target out to 25 yards. So, you know, there's an extra couple yards, you know, behind the stalls. But sure. you don't use that in. But they've got three of those, which are really nice for, you know, for being actually to run matches. So this is actually their third indoor USPSA match. They do rimfire matches like every like Thursday or something. But anyway, first they just started doing USPSA matches every other Monday. And it's a nice facility. Their training coordinator, Robbie, you know, he's a takes a bunch of classes and he really likes competing and getting better in performance. So he's kind of the driving force behind it. So I went to the match. I was hoping to go to the first two, but, you know, due to life scheduling or I had like a, what was it? Did I have a work? I had some work conflicts, so I couldn't go to the first two. But anyway, I went and shot this match. Didn't know what to really expect of shooting indoors other than I brought over the ears as well. And I never wear over the ears. But when you're going to go shoot inside with an open gun, you be prepared.
Yeah.
I didn't need them, though. I just have my cheap decibels that I shove in my ears, and mm-hmm. I was fine. Everyone else bitched, but I didn't care. But, I mean, as anyone should when they get used to shooting an open gun inside. So, anyway, shot the match. I shot with a decent squad. It wasn't a super good squad. I was the best guy in the squad. Not to be a dick or anything, but I was definitely the best guy in the squad. But I knew that going into it. Really, so really my goal kind of is with shooting this indoor match, you know, every other Monday, is kind of just to push the speed and the efficiency kind of stuff. You know, how fast can I do it? I'm still getting accurate hits. So I went, shot the match, came. Well, I'll talk about the results in a minute. Had to shoot a speed shoot first up. Wasn't the first shooter, but it was definitely interesting because I had switched my belt. If anyone knows, I switched my belt from double alpha pouches to Henning pouches. And I don't have any spare magnets, as I call them, on this belt yet. So the first stage, of course, was a speed shoot, unloaded start. So, you know, you go do the unloaded start. You grab the first mag off the belt. But then there's shoot. And this is ridiculous. We were maybe seven yards maybe away from these headbox-only targets with no shoots. Absolutely punitive targets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're shooting, and I go down to do the mandatory reload. And I'm like, where's my mag? So I'm like, I think you even see in the POV video, I look down and I'm like, oh, I guess I need to go to the second pouch. So I load it. So it was like a 2 second reload, which is not me because I can reload like the best of them, standing there or moving. But I will say the Henning pouches are nice. But luckily, which is the worst part, is as we're recording this today, I got a text message and a shipping notification that my DivTech magnets are in the mail. And I'm like, oh, great. I could have used that last night. Because I was always used to grabbing an unloaded start mag off the magnet and not mm-hmm. out of a pouch. But since there was no magnet, there was no mag to go there. So it went off the first pouch. But I do really like the Henning T900 pouches that I'm using. Very fast, very consistent, very smooth. I didn't have to worry about – I ran pretty hard. And I didn't have to worry about mags falling off from running. I mean, that's also with the weight loss too. Trying to lose 30 pounds before May. Losing that weight will hopefully let me see my mags a little bit better. But yeah, so we shot the speed shoot and then we shot a classifier. If you've ever, too close for comfort, like 1305 or something, I want to say that is, as I pull this. Oh, see, you must have shot it recently then, didn't you?
No, I have your scores up. I'm looking at them.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So I shot it slow. Like I didn't pick up speed until the second array. But it was definitely I like this classifier. I would say this is a pretty good like classifier to set up in training. Like you have, you know, you're not that far away, but you really can push. Like, can you transition? How fast can you transition from T1 to T5 or T2 to T1 to T5 or then back to 3 and then to 1? So I actually like this classifier. I said this to the people at the match. I'm like, this is a good training one. Like if you wanted to set this up, not necessarily to get better at the classifier, but the array mm-hmm. of targets. So yeah, definitely shot a lot more Charlies than Alphas on this one. But I was okay with the time. Although I definitely knew I could have shot it faster because it seemed like the first array is definitely a little slow on that side. And I'm like, why am I shooting this so slow? But then, you know, we shot another... We did shoot, we went to a field course, right? It was one of the field courses. You started in the middle. You had to go to one side or the other. And I really pushed the, you know, getting the gun up and shooting as soon as I could into the position and then leaving and then shooting on the move into the last position.
Hmm.
So, like, because you run to the left, you shoot these double stack and a slasher target, and I ended up getting a mic on the slasher target. It was about an inch into the hardcover. It was like, okay, kind of not acceptable, but it was acceptable because it wasn't a mic like off paper. But I had some trigger freeze on that, so that sucked too. So could have been a little bit better. Run all the way to right, shoot this array of like four targets, and then you have to leave the shooting area and then come back in. And as you're coming in, you can have the gun up and see a open target behind a barrel. So you shoot that coming in, you shoot a double stack moving, and then I finished on a tuxedo hidden behind a barrel. And this is, I guess, the problem of me stage planning with one of the match directors or the people who help set up a match. And I'm like, I don't have to go to the front. I told them this, like how they had the stage set up, that tux had enough, it was presented enough behind the barrel where I could stand back on the one position and shoot the tux with no problem. Like I could have just shot it all. Like I go to two positions and shoot the rest on the move, but then they crammed it farther behind the barrel. So you kind of still had, then you had to go to the front. But that's also a downside of being a better shooter is like, oh, I'm not going to go to the third position. But then the last stage, it was a pretty good last stage. It was, you shoot like the set of four targets. You leave the shooting position. You see, leave a shooting area coming across, came into like two double stacks of targets with some no shoots. I kind of just shot it up on the move. Like first two targets were kind of stationary. And then I started shooting on the move, shot some hardcover targets on the move, and then finished on the last one on the wall. It was a good match. I mean, my performance, my placement, I wish I would have won the match overall. I mean, I was second. Yeah. I was less than 8% down. If I did the math and I just took the two mics away and gave myself two Charlies, I won by like 3%. So.
You won the match by 3%?
I would have won the match by 3% if I just turned two mics into Charlies. That's me playing IPSC, right? Or IFSC. I mean, is it is. You can only shoot as best as your best day. So no. So as an indoor match, it wasn't bad. It tested good skills. There was still options on the two field courses, so I can't complain. Like of someone of my skill who's looking to win the match is going to try to go win the match. And the people who are competing in their classes, they got to test themselves in their classes. So it was still a good match. There was good options. The match directors are still learning. So I even talked to the one of them. I'm like, we were done and out. Like, what was it? We started shooting at 5:30. We were done almost by 7 or so, 7:30, maybe at the latest. I was like, well, shit, we could have shot one of these stages again, but like going the other way. So we could have had five stages on three bays. But I enjoyed it. It was definitely a new experience shooting completely downrange. I mean, I was kind of used to it from shooting at Cardinal Practical Shooting Center, you know, where they hosted Carry Optics Nationals, Handgun Nationals in 2023. But I wore my work shoes to the match because they're the non-slip, they're like safety treads or like concrete. So I'm like, okay, my shoes are a little heavier because I've got like a synthetic steel toe or synthetic toe. But they definitely, I didn't fall on my ass. There was one guy with the PCC who fell on his butt, and it sucked for him. He had to get back up.
Yeah, that's no fun. So,
no
takeaways from the match? It sounds like just accuracy, really.
Yeah, and I was kind of pushing for speed, too. So, I mean, I can kind of see at my level, I can still see I'm pulling away from people around my level, which is nice. So I can see that the speed's there. Just got to tighten some things up a little bit. Now, if it was where was I? Was it? I couldn't really discern the accuracy issues if it was I wasn't looking at the spot, or if my grip was just a little bit off. So, but we're still progressing and we're moving forward. So I can't really complain with the overall match because I had fun. So that's part of how, and I learned some things. So it's good things to take back into training. So it'll kind of lead into dry fire, another match in 2 weeks. So we'll see where you go from there.
Before we leave talking about your match, tell me about this M&P Open Gun.
Oh, yes, this M&P Open Gun. So it's my buddy Tom Zacharick, is a Slide Ride 40 M&P with a threaded barrel.
I've already lost interest. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yes. And this honking, I want to say it was like a Carver comp. It has to be. It was super blocky.
They're the only ones I know that make a 40 comp. So
right. So yeah. So it's got to be a Carver comp. And he had those like 24 round big stick M&P mags. Now, Tom is known for shooting weird open guns. It's because it's what he likes to shoot.
Yeah.
He's got an XDM like that's set up the exact same way, except it's a Springfield. And he had fun. I mean, Tom's not the best shooter. He's a distinguished senior D class. He has fun though. So I can't really, I like seeing Tom, even though he's Tom. But I guess I will say one more thing about this match is if you're going to run the timer or you're going to help try to run an indoor match, please know the range commands. Don't tell me shooter, make it hot, or especially it's a sanctioned USPSA match. So like I expect certain range commands.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like, I don't need backseat, how do I put it? Don't tell the range command. I don't know. I don't need a backseat driving when I'm loading and like actually doing my make ready. I don't need you talking to me. Or if I'm not in the ready position, please don't try to start me. I had an old guy on the class bar. He's like, are you ready? I'm like, no. Are you ready? No. I'm like, my hands, I'm turning on a hat cam. Like, I'm like, he's like, are you ready? No. I'm like, I appreciated him because he ran every shooter on the classifier, like for the three squads, but it was still like, do I look like I'm ready?
I'm ready.
And because if anyone knows me, they give me, are you ready? And I'm like, yep. I will always say yep or yes if I'm ready. And I shake my head. That's my one thing. That's my one bitch. That's the only thing I complain about.
Yeah, it's just, well, like you said, it sounds like the match is in its infancy. So hopefully they continue to grow and have it.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to run October through April, I want to say. So perfect to stay kind of sharp. And I shot 72. I mean, it was a scheduled 70-round match, and I think I shot 72. So I can't complain. And I was like, I told him, I was like, add another stage. And the problem is you can only add so many rounds, though, too, to a match in an indoor match without just doing double stacks everywhere. So
that's why I think you should really come down and shoot just a regular Pine Tree local or a mismatch. So you can see the types of stages that they put on, like Eric and Max and all them guys, because we only have three bays, but we cram in six stages.
Mm-hmm. And how long does it take you?
Not long. To put it this way, for Pine Tree, we do two flights. You start at 8 a.m. for the first flight of three squads or four squads. And then 11 a.m. for the second one.
So about 3 hours. So 2.5-ish hours.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I think especially with seasoned indoor shooters. And that was a problem too. Our squad, there are people who wanted to come shoot indoors. And some of us who have not shot indoors. And we're like, how does this work? We got to stay this far back. And it's just like, because it took us a minute to figure it out.
Yeah, but that's just it. You know, if you guys continue to grow it, and if you come out and shoot one, you can see how the stages we put together are designed to be quickly changed to be a dramatically different stage, but with minimal changeover.
Right.
So it's pretty fun. And I mean, Miss is a prime example. We shoot six stages in two bays. So, and we start at, the hell time does Miss start? Six? And we're usually done by like 9:30-ish.
It's not terrible though. I mean, you're still getting six stages in two bays, so.
Right. Yeah, those guys up there, man. Masters at, what's the stupid software called?
SketchUp?
Yeah. Yep, masters of that.
Yeah. You ready to dive into listener questions?
Yeah, this ought to be fun. I haven't really looked at them. I kind of just copied and pasted them.
Oh, Lord. So. All right, so I guess I'll ask you this question. If you had to build the ultimate MMP, what would you have done to it? We've got three scenarios here. First is for USPSA.
Okay.
Do you want all three scenarios right now, or you want to go one by one?
I'll do USPSA. Okay. It's basically kind of the gun that you have, but you don't have... No, really, if I'm shooting carry optics, it's my gun that you have, except in a 2.0.
Mm-hmm. With the big, more aggressive grip texture?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right, for carry.
Oh, I guess I should tell people what that is. You know what that is. It's just a 5-inch M&P uncaptured guide rod red dot apex trigger. That's it.
Yep, with your freaking honking back strap.
Well, with the large back strap on it. And if I was feeling bougie enough, I would get the Apex barrel because they are worth it. They are very, very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
fair enough. Now, if you're going to build the ultimate MMP for carry, what would it be?
It would be their compact 4-inch Lucky Sevens, red dots, Apex.
Would you put a flashlight on it?
Of course, yeah.
So, since you're getting Lucky Sevens on it, what color would the gun be then at this point?
Honestly, with that, I would probably have Vinny do this like comic book thing he's been doing.
Oh, like the anime thing? The really recent thing? That does look pretty sharp.
So I saw it in person, and good God, I need a gun with that on there. It is very good. It looks even better in person.
That's pretty baller. All right. Now, if you're just going to build an ultimate gun range toy, what M&P would it be?
I don't know. My open M&P is pretty fun.
I mean, yeah, with a name like Honda, it ought to be fun.
It's a joy to shoot. I mean, everyone that shoots is like, wow, I can't believe it shoots this good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's kind of fun to me. So,
have you done a video on Honda yet?
Not yet. It's in the works.
Okay.
I'm waiting until I shoot a match with it. So
it's a pretty tricked out gun. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Did you figure out what holster that's going to sit in then?
Yeah, it's going to sit in a Sierra Speed.
Oh, the World Shoot holster will work for it? Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Oh, I'll make it work.
Right? Okay. Here's another good question. This one is actually for me again. If you had to learn to play a musical instrument that you don't already know how to play, what would it be?
Probably keyboard.
Okay. Why?
Because it translates so well to the music that I love. And I had to take a class in junior high and learn the principles of keyboard. Like, I only passed the class because I could play like the first few notes of Jingle Bells. But it was really fun. Yeah. So, but it translates really well to like the hard style, like electro house music that I like. So I would see me playing that. That would be kind of fun.
That would be kind of fun. Not going to lie. That would be pretty fun. Now, if I had to play a musical instrument that I don't know already how to play, well, let me figure out what I already know how to play. So I can play the saxophone. I can play the trombone. I can play the bass drum. Let's see. Probably I would love to play a marching snare. I never was able to really figure it out how to move my hands fast enough to do it. But everyone's seen the movie Drumline, right? Like, well, if I could go back...
I've actually never seen it, so.
What? It's got Nick Cannon in it, bro.
Probably why I've never seen it.
Dude, it's a good movie, not going to lie. You know, that movie, that came out at the same time frame as, like, Coach Carter, like, Remember the Titans.
First of all, sir, do not ever say Coach Carter or Remember the Titans in vain at all. And don't you dare put them in the same category as a Nick Cannon movie.
Hey, they came out around the same time, early 2000s. They
didn't come out at the same time.
I enjoyed all of those movies. No, Remember the Titans was great. You know, if anyone could give me a streamable version of like Coach Carter, I would really appreciate that. I can't find one without paying for it.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper just to run down. Don't you guys have like a disc replay up by you or something?
No, our family video store that we had in town is now a Wild Bill's Tobacco. And now it's going to be, and the other half is going to be a military recruitment office. I found that out today on Facebook. Right. Yeah,
I'll see if I can find you a copy of Coach Carter.
Yeah, it's a good movie. No, so so probably marching snare drum.
Okay.
So here's another question: why doesn't Apex make a green M&P trigger, or any green trigger for that matter?
That's a great question. I will be sure to ask Scott when I see him in January.
No, you have to text him like later.
Hey man, I need a limited run of green.
I don't care how many it has to be. Just make them green.
I would like a green anodized trigger. It'd be pretty cool.
I mean, we talked about this the other day. I was just like, why? Why not? Like every other color under the rainbow.
If purple.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is true. Really? No one really so I'm looking at all these listener questions. Nobody really sent in other questions than I did. What the heck, people?
No, they did. They're just on the bottom.
Yeah, but still, I mean, like, I still got to go one more question before I get to those.
Okay.
So, Tony, are you going to go see the new Garfield movie?
I absolutely am because I'm a huge Chris Pratt fan.
This is good. This is true.
So, and did you guys ever see the, final Garfield comic strip?
Like the last comic strip of Garfield?
Yes. It's the saddest fucking thing you'll ever see. And as a cat dad, it's the saddest fucking thing you'll ever see.
I guess I'll have to Google it then.
I'll just paint you the picture. It's three blocks in a comic strip. Mm-hmm. It's Garfield laying in his bed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Facing away. All you see is the bed and then like the loaf that is which Garfield is. And you see the little text bubble. Z, the next box, text bubble, dot, 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 dot. The next box, same position, text bubble, nothing.
That sucks.
It's the saddest fucking comic I've ever read in my life.
That's terrible. Why'd you got to do that to Garfield?
Spoiler alert, guys. My bad. Unbelievable. Next question, Manny. God damn it.
So I guess this one already relates to this, but have you seen the new LTT Tomcat that comes with an optic?
I have. I actually saw it. I saw it the morning I think that I asked for questions. It was the first thing that I saw.
Yeah. So Monday?
Yeah. So yes, we kind of have we talked about it. So yes, I saw it and I want one.
Yeah. So here's another one. Platypus versus Staccato. Which is better? Cost aside, what's the pros and cons of each?
Well, you can kind of speak on this too because you've shot both.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go first because you have a more brief stint with both of them than I do.
Okay, which is better? I guess it really depends on, for me at least, it depends on which platform you're already heavily invested in, right? Now, if you're a Glock guy and you want to
say that doesn't matter. Because if they're saying price doesn't matter,
well,
cost aside, because that's basically cost dependent, right?
I guess if you want to think about that. Now, well, it depends. If you want more magazines of different calibers and sizes, I mean, you could. But that is a pro, though. Like, I can say that is a pro for the Platypus. Yeah. All the people who pretty much get a Platypus have probably got Glock mags sticking around their house or Magpul mags. By the way, do those work in that gun?
They work in the gun, but those mags are shit.
I mean, they are shit, but that's what people grew up like. They wanted a 21 round bigger stick than a 17 mag. They didn't want to spend money on an extension. They'd go buy a 21 mag pull.
God. Yes, hey, they work in the gun.
Yeah, but you remember working at a gun store. You probably sold a crap ton of those magazines.
Yeah, I did.
You know, see? And I still have like 10 of them at home. So. That was before I was into like competing, though.
They make great training mags. I would never use them in a match, and I would never use them for carry.
Oh, those are sacrificial lamb mags, like especially if like training at an indoor range,
Yeah. Just
to drop them on the ground. Yes, Yep. Absolutely. So, I've shot the Platypus very little, but it was still a good gun, right? Even though it didn't have nearly enough pro grip on it,
we remedied it.
Still doesn't have enough, but. They're still a great gun. Like, the gun shoots amazingly. The return to zero is awesome. On the Staccato, same thing. It's a little bit lighter because it's got a polymer grip instead of the Platypus, you know, metal grip or the aluminum grip. I don't know which one. I wouldn't say one's better because they're roughly the same price, right?
No.
What's the Platypus running for then?
Platypus on the high end is $1,800.
Oh, so it is a little bit cheaper. And a Staccato is 25 to 3.
25 optic cut, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we're not really talking about cost here. So, I guess I say it's a moot point, really, depending on what you like, right? The Staccato is going to come in like a black DLC, black nitride type coating. A Platypus is going to come in on any color under the rainbow. I mean, we've seen Bumblebee, we've seen Genie that's blue, the ice cream cone one. Is that Eddie's or is that T's?
That's T's.
And then the Italian flag for, you know, Ponch's Italian flag gun.
Goomba Gat.
I mean, so there's all those
options. All Cerakote, so.
Yeah. But still, like, they hold up really well. Like, and they're professionally coated, so it's.
Yeah. So I'll give you my take on it. I own both. I have a lot of rounds through them. Staccato collectively, I probably have a little under 10,000. I have over 15,000 collectively through the platypus now.
The platypi.
Platypi, that's right. cost aside, couple things to me. If you like tinkering and adding your own parts, you have to go with a staccato.
Yeah, you definitely can't do that with the platypus.
Right. It's just not available yet. I have a feeling the aftermarket will grow with that gun because I do stand by that that gun is going to continue to grow and become more popular. It already is.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make it heavier, easy, you have to go with a staccato.
Yep. Slap a new grip on it. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, there are going to be new magwells and well, just new magwells and new textures coming out for the platypus. But again, still an aluminum frame gun. I will tell you this. The bull barrels are on their way. So that becomes a wash on them because everyone's like, well, this Staccato's got a bull barrel. We shot non-bull barrel guns for a very, very long time. And they can still be very, very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a must. It does add a nice bit of weight to it. And it does aid in the takedown being a little more simple. What else would be a good one?
Yeah,
I'll
well,
give the Staccato this. Mm-hmm. Because it's a polymer frame, the recoil sharpness is not there.
Mm-hmm.
When you shoot it back to back with like a platypus being all metal, all aluminum, you feel the sharpness because there's nothing to absorb it.
Yeah. I could give that. And I guess if you really, another point, I guess, to the Staccato is, yes, you can add weight to it very easily by changing a grip. You can change the grips. On a platypus, you can't. I mean, you're stuck with the texture you get. So, and if you screw up.
Kind of. Now, Handle It Grips has come out with a grip package for the platypus.
Right, but like base to base, right?
You mean can't, material, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, material, you're stuck. I actually have Handle It's on the way just to try them. Mm-hmm. I can never get the damn sticky grips to stay on my gun.
Well, it's because you have good fundamentals of gripping a gun.
And it's just, they always seem to peel off. They always seem to like slide.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it another whirl because I've already publicly said it before. Bumblebee's texture is not the grippiest.
Right. It was one of the first textures.
Yeah.
But you know, here's the cool thing about one thing for staccato, you go buy a new grip. You want to stipple it. Go ahead. You don't like it, you mess it up, go buy another grip.
Yeah.
You can stipple it again.
Yep.
Or you can go get like the Extreme Shooters grips that are already stippled and to your liking. Boom.
Yeah. That's kind of really what it boils down to. If you like tinkering, the aftermarket support for a 2011 is far greater than that of a platypus.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's really the only difference. Or if you want something that's personalized color, right when you order it, so you don't have to order a gun, send it to get Cerakoted, then wait for it to get back, then obviously you would go with the Stealth Arms.
Yes.
I love how that the platypus has just become like its thing. No one says Stealth Arms. It's just platypus.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
All right, what else do we got?
Oh, this one that you don't know much about. Why? So many people think Joe Chambers makes the finest 1911s, but they are just Bob Marvel copies. But are they just Bob Marvel copies? I forget. There's a question in there.
Well, I copied and pasted that, so it does not say but are. But I assume that's what he was saying?
But they are just Bob Marvel copies.
And then question mark?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll start because I think you know more about this than I do. I'm not a 1911, 2011 guy. From things that I know, Chambers makes very, very good guns. I guess he's very analytical. I've heard of his videos. I've actually never watched one.
Yeah, because you got to pay for them. You got to be on his Patreon to get them.
No, he has them on YouTube. Some of the earlier ones, like the Prodigy and stuff. He's got the, what is he calling, the mathematical reviews.
Yeah. Because he'll look at the numbers of the gun.
Sure. That's fine and dandy, but that's just one gun.
Right.
I'm sure he says that, right? Because
he's
only got a, sample size of one.
Yeah, it's not like he's getting five prodigies and be like, all right, we're going to do some math and we're going to average all these out.
So I take it you've watched the videos?
The early ones, yeah, before okay. they went, when he was still doing them on Instagram Live. But, you know, so Joe Chambers was taught by Bob, right? He was one of Bob's students. Like, okay. he was an apprentice under Bob. So a lot of his, you could say they're just clones or copies of Bob's work because that's who he learned from, right? So still very good guns. Like, if you don't know, he makes fine, you know, awesome semi-wad cutter guns, 1911s and 45. Beautiful finishes, fit and finish, all, you know, truly. Like, if you think Nighthawk is like the epitome of like, you know, a semi-production, you know, 1911 custom gun, one gun, one gunsmith, Joe's Chambers is like that to like 10,000 at least, or, you know, to another level. I'm not a shill for Chambers Customs. I did tell Tony the pre-show I was really thinking about pulling the trigger on, you know, one of his double stacks, or what he called as the 2019s.
Mm-hmm.
When he was selling, when he was getting into the 2011 market. But no, definitely great guns. And I think maybe it comes from people thinking these so awesome is because they get names like, you know, he made a gun with Chuck Pressburg. He made one with like, oh God, Eric Reston and some other, you know, other top level instructors who got mm-hmm. into the 2011 game when Staccato kind of became a thing, but they wanted a really nice one. So I guess maybe it's a little bit of like clout or, you know, as I call it, or most people in the industry call it, nut riding. But you've never heard of this term, Tony?
What, nut riding?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. Your face did not express it.
No, I was just trying to, because the Bob Marvel, and then you said Nighthawk, and I was like, I'm pretty sure they actually have a Bob Marvel edition.
Yeah, well, and it's, you know, the Marvel, Bob had some stylistic things that he did, at least from what I understand. Bob had some things like the Marvel cut, right? It's a popular cut on 1911s. Now, it's kind of just like the, Wilson cut, or oh, Novak, like, you know, everything gets like when they do a certain thing and somebody coins it, and then that's their thing, even though they might not have come up with it, but they're the ones who said it, so they get credit for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, at least in my opinion. But no, Joe makes some really good, you know, aesthetically looking pretty guns and functioning guns, so they're super accurate. But I did ask him, he did make open guns at one point. But then he's like, nope, I'm good on that. Or he's like, you don't want to pay for it.
Right.
Because that'd be at least a $10,000 plus open gun.
Another Infinity on our hands.
And yeah, another Infinity with twice as long lead times.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to research it a little bit more. Like I said, I've never been a... there are certain guns that I nerd out on, like old Marlin lever actions and maybe some Snake Series revolvers, but mm-hmm. when it comes to pistols, I've really kind of been a shooter first.
Right. Even myself, like nowadays, I'm a competitor when it comes to guns. Like, it's very hard just to go buy a gun to buy a gun.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to have purpose. It's got to have its thing.
Yeah, so, which kind of sucks, right? Because it kind of ruins it sometimes.
Right. Or you're like, why would I go buy said MMP when I could go buy more magazines for my open gun, right? You know, it's like the realistic part, like, do you really need more magazines? Do you need another gun? Well, the answer is always yes, you need another gun or more magazines, because you don't have enough magazines for practice.
Well, I was just talking to my buddy the other day about that, and we were just talking about guns. He used to shoot a Tanfolio. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, man, do you miss the Tanfolio at all? He goes, yes and no. And it's like, because he shot Tanfolio way back.
Oh, I was about to say, did Dave decide to not shoot the...
No.
His never ran anyway.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's just it. That's the same thing with every Tanfolio. Even when I sold them, I sold a lot of Tanfolios.
Mm-hmm.
I always told people, these are like old Italian sports cars. They require a lot of attention, and they require a lot of maintenance.
Yep, and then you just go ask Tanfo Timmy what you got to do to it.
Right. You know, it wasn't it's not an easy gun to keep running. And he basically said, he goes, it's a nice gun. He goes, I like him. But then his answer was kind of what sparked what we were talking about. He's like, yeah, but I can't just see myself going to buy two of those and blah, blah. Like, that's how competitors think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to buy two of those, and I need to buy fucking 12 magazines. And it's like, no, I was just asking if you just like would like to own another Tanfolio. And he's like, I mean, I guess maybe. He goes, like, I'm not to compete with, just to own one. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess.
Right. It wouldn't be bad to have in the collection, but shooting it would be a different story, and actually shooting it as your competition. But there's also a thing about it too, right? Competitors, for the most part, serious ones, are going to stick to one gun, one platform, one division, right? Yeah. It's the people who hop around, you know, they're the I would call them the collectors of the competition world. And we know a lot of those people who hop around.
That me.
Well, you just can't decide what freaking gun to pull out of the safe. And you're just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But truly, like, as soon as the Platypus came out, you were all on that gun. Like, and you were just like, yes, when's limited optics coming? Because that's my thing. But yeah, you can shoot down the best of them in production, but it's not your thing. Now, but you look at John Wick Martello, and he will hop from carry optics to limited optics to open to some other silly division that probably has iron sights on it that we won't name because they're not real. You know, I call John, even though he's a very good shooter in carry optic, he's a collector type, in at least in my mind, in the competition space, because they will hop. Me, yeah. I shoot my open gun. That's about
it. But he didn't hop when he decided he was going to make Grandmaster. That was it.
Right. True. This is true. Because he knew he could do it. Although, yeah. Anyway, do you want to get to this last question?
We got another question.
Yeah. Witness 2311. Yes or no buy would be my first 2011 platform.
Well, you can go ahead and give your opinion, because I don't think you've even touched one yet, have you?
I have not touched one yet. But we've talked about this, right? So it's like, well, I think we've had this personal conversation. Do I buy a 2311 or do I buy a Prodigy? You know, one's less than 1,000, one's less than 1,500. Right. You know, there's still a cost difference. But for the cost and evaluation of money put into it, which one do you need to put more parts and labor and money into to be where you want it to be, right? That's the hard part. But this is the competitor in me, right? Like, I'd buy the gun. I'd have to put a metal grip on it from Chile because that's what I like, you know. But I guess it depends on what the purpose is too, right? Like, if it's a carry gun or a range gun, do you really need a metal grip? But
yeah, I think this is I don't know if this is going to be for a competitor gun. Yeah. But let's say it is, and I don't even account for the grip thing because that's such a personal preference. The biggest issue I have so far with the 2311, and this is for kind of, it can go for both, is the 2311 is only cut for the RMSC. The Prodigy, you can get the AOS plate systems. And that means you could get a conversion plate for the 2311.
Yep.
I think the 2311 is probably going to have a little bit better internals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure on that because I haven't taken one apart. I've shot both of them. I have to reshoot a Prodigy because I shot them when they first came out and I didn't get the special guns. I got the real guns that didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
So, and of the 2311s that I've shot from Gersan, all of them have been amazing. And they were guns that I know have thousands of rounds through them because they were all at gun conventions.
Right.
And they worked. So, for the money, I think it's hard to beat the Gersan. Just right. Know you're either going to have to find someone that makes an RMSC to RMR plate. I know they're out there. Or whatever other plate you would like, or whatever other footprint you would like.
Right.
But you have that same issue with the Prodigy. You have to buy a plate system. You got to buy a plate for whatever optic.
Right. But luckily enough, you know, Agency makes a good plate. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Their plate system's great.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's just up to like 2311, yes or no buy, I would absolutely buy it. Especially $1,000. Like, who would have thought we would have seen a legit 2011 platformed pistol for $1,000 brand new?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No one would ever think about it. Especially not five, not even 2 years ago.
Right. You know, hell, 2 years ago, everyone's like, oh, Staccato, like, I want that as my daily gun, but it's the most expensive gun I've ever bought.
Like, but we know people who their first gun was a Staccato.
I know. Which is asinine.
Yeah, like it wasn't me. Not when I got into firearms. No.
Yeah, but then again, back then that wasn't a thing. Like back when you got into guns, back when I was into guns, all STI did was made race guns. They didn't make anything else.
Right.
So unless you, Reggie, unless you were a competitor, you didn't buy an STI. You didn't even look at them.
Right.
So.
No, you didn't. You absolutely didn't.
Yeah, I would buy it. Absolutely.
It's kind of hard to pass up on. But there's all your listener questions, Tony.
That's it, man. Well, I appreciate it, dude. Thank you for coming on.
No problem. It's always a fun pleasure to hang out and talk to you.
Made the time fly by, and now I'll have to wait for this to download and post it right away and apologize to everyone for – I'm blaming it on Jackie's intoxication, so.
Hey, it's okay. It's why they can always have another episode of Bro Time, though.
Intoxication. There we go. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah. But, hey, it's not often they get an episode of Bro Time.
That's true. I got to find that logo again. Maybe I have to redraw it.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's been a while since we've done it.
This is true.
So, guys, if you need to reach out to Manny.
You can reach. Yeah, they can reach me at MannyTalkShooting @gmail.com. Please send me an email if you want to. But really, Instagram, MannyTalkShooting. Hit me up. Talk to me if you want. I've always posted new episodes of the podcast every single week on Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. More than I can say about Tony and Jackie, but it's okay. I am their accountability partner when it makes you getting episodes up. So, but no, I appreciate y'all checking us out here on Bro Time. And Tony, yes. Brothers, thanks for having me. And where can they get a hold of you?
Yep. You guys know pewtimepodcast @gmail.com, @laughandload on all the socials. And we post the podcast usually Tuesday mornings. It's consistently been once a week.
There, yes.
Once a calendar week.
Yes.
Listen, man, I live a busy life, okay? But it'll be out. You guys know where to reach me. We appreciate you. We love you. And Jackie will probably be with me next week. We actually might have a special guest. I'm trying to work it out. I don't want to make empty promises. But hopefully it'll be a pretty cool interview. And I will talk to you next week. Manny will join you. Will join me again whenever. And make sure you check out Manny's show on Mondays.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.